You're listening to Sound Poetry. I am your host, David Gilmore.
You're listening to Sound Poetry from KTAH 101.9 LPFM Radio Tacoma. My name is Steve Niebel. I'm sitting in for David Gilmore, who's currently on hiatus. Today, we'd like to welcome Nancy Lee Spears. She's worked for a DJ adult contemporary formatted FM station in Portland. So she's been a broadcast professional. She's worked for various fundraising drives for PBS in Durham, North Carolina. And she's had a singing career. Some of her stage credits include Ms. Buttercup and HMS Pinafore and The Courtesan and Three Boys from Syracuse, and Ms. Krumholtz and How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. She studied jazz with a vocal coach, plays guitar, practices hot yoga, writes inspirational music, and sings for her community church. And she also performs jazz at local restaurants and venues for special events. And she's currently working on her book called My Yellow Dress. And if that wasn't enough, she's a spoken word poet, and we're really looking forward to hearing a little bit from you. So welcome, Nancy Lee Spears.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here. Basically, poetry comes in two parts. There's poetry readings, where you sit and read. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I understand, of course, is the spoken word, which is a poetry slam. So there's a poetry reading and there's a poetry slam. Now, have you ever been to a poetry slam, Steve?
No, I don't think so.
Slam, to me, is the possibility of expression in such a deep way that it's emotive. And there's nothing competitive about it, but it's the part of you that reads, where you bring all the pieces of yourself forward to be heard. Your emotion, your expression, your gestures, your heart, your soul. Poetry slam.
But anyway, I'm looking forward to hearing you do something.
Okay, well, I'll do something right now. It's called That Old Spiritual Wind Keeps On A-Blowin'. Okay? And this is a perfect day because it's a little windy outside and the birds are tweeting over here. And anyway, I remember those resting days. I remember family talks between the fireplace and the TV. I remember those days of job hunting and all the I'm sorry's included, but I knew that something good was up God's sleeve for me. I remember feeling like I was the unmentioned letter sitting right between A and Z, knowing something was in the air slowly and most certainly approaching. That's right, because even though seemingly nothing happened, something is as surely as spirit is the I am, because that old spiritual wind keep on a-blowing. Now, nobody ever saw the wind before, right? Those nights before going to bed, I remember checking out the window just to make sure the moon was there. And even though I only saw half the moon, I knew that the whole thing was there. That's right. That old spiritual wind keeps on a-blowing, even though I don't feel like I'm going too far. You see, because spirit is more real than when there's a pen in my hand. And even though I feel in a foreign land, the great promise of my life is for keeps, that there's something good with my name tag on it, just for me. Even when I'm snoring my head off in bed, spirit is awake. I rest knowing I got a 24-hour security guard. It's a coming. That's right, sure is. So pull up your chair. Have a seat. Rest a spell. Don't pray that prayer again. You never liked repetitious people yourself. It's like being in an airplane. You ain't left where you're leaving from or gotten to where you're going to. So have a seat and fly. The scenery's prettier when you're more relaxed anyway. We're waiting on the Lord in this department, so you see, we got a feeling that strategic planning matter a lot around here. We fruit on a tree, soon not to be hanging no more. And I still ain't never physically seen the wind, but I am definitely sure that that old spiritual wind keeps on a-blowing.
Oh, that's great. I just should mention, Nancy Lee is sitting outdoors on Vashon Island with you, with a big fir tree in back of her, and I can see the shakes on her house. And it might be a hemlock tree. I noticed there were a lot of hemlocks over there.
Yeah, there are.
So I understand that excitement about life.
You do?
Yeah. You betcha. You know?
No, can I tell you, culturally... Okay, It's culture. That's, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes things are just simply culture. Now, I can't look. This is a terrible thing to confess, but it's hard to see men, let alone white men, as being emotional and being able to see that they are feeling something and lock into it. That's a challenge for me because my exposure is different.
Mm-hmm.
So white men generally aren't, bah! Or they don't emote a lot culturally. I'm talking about culture. Because it could sound not like I'm not being racist. I'm not just saying that. I'm just saying the difference of looking at you and going, okay, is he excited now? What, you know, so a lot of times with my white brothers, I look at them and I say, okay, now, so can you unpack that a little bit more? And I just want to see what you were feeling there because, you know, and it's hard enough to do that with a man, but with a white man, that's really. And where are you from?
Well, I'm from Washington State. I've lived here all my life.
All your life.
Other than having been other places. But you know,
but
talk
then
about
a white guy in D.C. He's different. He has a little more.
But you talk about culture and about that seeing each other. So I think that goes both ways. I think that also that white people don't get black people a lot of times, you know, because
Ooh, and the black woman. Oh, let me tell you, the black woman is the most. I think she is the most misunderstood woman on the planet. The black woman. That's another conversation, but
ooh. It is. That's a big one. I feel sometimes like my tendency is to want to say, well, I understand what you're saying. And the truth of the matter is that I realize that that's a big conversation and that there's always a lot to learn.
Oh,
okay. So let's move on. Let's go ahead and perform another piece.
Okay. All right. This one I have to read if that's okay.
That's fine.
Okay. But it's called Self-Loving. Self-loving. Come and get your self-loving today. Beautiful, honest, sincere self-loving. A return to oneself. That sassy exchange that's been beckoning you. Don't you know it? Ah, self-loving. Who was I kidding? I had been floundering, drowning in some kind of reoccurring self-loathing, had lost my sparkle, my sweetness, my joy, when suddenly self-loving came riding in on her beautiful black stallion, like from an old black and white movie. She rescued me, dashing to meet me. I'd been standing on a dusty back road where she galloped in, picked me up, put me behind her back. With no thought, my arms folded tightly around her waist. She escorted me to safety. Da-da-da-da! Self-loving. I'd been working without breaks, with hit and miss lunches, without downtime, without me care, limited sustenance and nourishment, working like a slave. And I cried out to the Eretian river goddess. I said, Oshun, Oshun. And there she stood in ankle deep waters, deep in her purity, fertility, love, and sensuality. Wow. Soulfully dancing, cocoa skin in a bold shimmery to the floor, bright yellow gown, standing by deep, cool, fresh running waters, while in her left hand she sipped from a small flask filled with sun-warmed honey. My favorite old school sounds playing on a bad, deep bass bowl system. How did she know? Not affected or moved by my current state of lackluster, the unloving things I had been doing while sheepishly confessing that I'd been swept away by something powerful and couldn't stop myself. I breathed in her love, wrapped in pleasure and an accepting and non-condescending smile. I took her hand. I'd been asking others to make me feel good, holding those I loved at gunpoint, as if they were responsible. There they were. They were helplessly held hostage to make me happy. I was becoming the person who was kind of needy, and I said some mean-spirited things, and that's all I'll say about that. But she encouraged me like no other phenomenal woman could or was supposed to. She reminded me of the things that had always filled my cup. My music, my song, my writing, my dance, watching puffy clouds while laying in the grass, the absolute pleasure of my own company. She took me to the river. And since there's really no river flowing through my backyard, I simply lit some candles and took a bath. She whispered cool stuff, mantras in my ear like, you have to take care of yourself before you can take care of anyone else. She sent my close friend to tell me, For someone who wants to end world hunger, I see you haven't eaten lunch for 2 days. She also said, you can't attract quality friends while you're not being your own best one. So I started making tiny, simple changes. I set out to really start being kinder to myself, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and the complete and total abstinence from Russian all over the place. Self-loving. Come and get your self-loving today. Beautiful, honest, sincere self-loving. A return to oneself. That sassy exchange that's been beckoning you. Don't you know it? Ah, self-loving.
Was that oration, River Goddess?
Yes.
Like someone who orates?
No, the Orishan River Goddess.
Orishan.
Well, okay, the Yoruban faith, or Yoruban, or your Yorubán. That's where the Catholicism came from. It's the original religion from Africa. It's where the Catholics went in, or the people went in, and they changed it and they anglicized it, and then they took all the gods and goddesses and made them white, and then narrowed it down, because I don't know how many gods and goddesses there are, but they took that faith. So in reality, the Yoruban faith is from Catholicism. Hmm. Or Catholicism is from the Yoruban faith, because the Yoruban faith was here first. Because we're talking about Africa. Everything started there. Institutions, hospitals, universities, everything was copied by the European and then taken away.
Right.
So, right.
That was really a lot of self-loving. That's from something of a real experience, I take it.
Oh, you have no idea. Absolutely. I think that we people and women are notorious for taking care of everybody else except themselves. And I was in a real bad place of that until I realized what I was doing and had to regroup and everything. And the poem came from that. Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
I was not eating lunch.
Oh, really? Were you really starving yourself by not eating lunch, or was it just a matter of not taking time for yourself and not
taking time for yourself? It's just, I think women, we really do that a lot. We just nurture everybody else. We're kind of in everybody else's business and everything like that. But then when it comes to our own, we're underattended and underloved and under self-nourished. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Oh my. Well, let's go on to another one.
Okay. Okay, here's one. This comes from, this is kind of deep here, but for those of us who have been through a lot, it's called Share Your Music. Just share your music, that's all. I know, I get this. I completely get this. Maybe you're simply hesitant, petrified, or busy. That's good, busy, because you don't really have to think about your music if you stay busy. I mean, just do it, right? However, when was the last time, for God's sake, that it felt safe for you to share? You may have tried to sing your song, okay? You may have even brought your new running shoes. You set up your website even, got your business cards. Maybe you put your music out there and not one soul responded, not one. Well, it had to be probably that your song wasn't good enough. That just had to be the reason. And while you were trying to make it all happen, everything whittled you down to nothing. Maybe you were abused. I mean, how safe is it to share if you have been publicly embarrassed, slapped, kicked, punched, criticized, yelled at, racially profiled, put in some kind of closet, laughed at, or even locked up? Yeah, perhaps the folks around you seem smarter, faster, prettier, stronger, more competent. Their running shoes were more expensive. They had better looking. They had money. Or maybe they really didn't like your music the way you thought they did. They lied to you. They were just hanging out on the sidelines waiting to cash in on your royalties. Or death froze you. Or the divorce that took your breath away. It's hard to hold a note if you've had the wind slapped out of you. And your precious song stuck down for so long now that you're not even current anymore. You just sound too damn old. The words in the hook to your music sound outdated, not fresh, not cutting edge. Look at all those young, vibrant, good-looking people out there sharing theirs. Kind of intimidating. And there it is again, another reason not to share. Share your music, you may have forgotten how the tune even goes. But there's good news. here's some good news. The spark, the tiny flutter in your heart, or that surge of joy and hope you feel this time, it doesn't mean you're going to die. It's just your music inside of you you've been feeling, not the end of your life. The bad experiences you may have had when you at last shared were so painful, maybe you actually thought your music came with a bad outcome, kind of like Siamese twins. You got pain and pleasure, your song and something awful, all glued, all knotted, connected. The excitement of your sharing happened so close to the pain, you thought they came as a set. You accidentally bundled them like an overpriced phone contract you can't get out of. But the truth is, your song still wants to share for class show and tell. She's an innocent, excited little kid who keeps jumping up out of her chair with her hand in the air. Teacher, my turn. Me next. Pick me, please. And as tired as you may have been, your song is still fresh and smiling and innocent. Maybe you'll need to modify your music a bit, but there's a big difference between a little makeover and a complete do-over. You have yet to take your song by the hand. Let her be your baby. Grow her up. Walk her. Feed her. Show her up. Dress her up. Change her nasty little diapers. The truth is, this child's not going to just go away. And hold on now, just so you know, this is not a setup for yet another false start. It's just that it's never too late for Kool-Aid. And look, where are the rocks? Look around you. There are no stones being cast here. Where are your accusers? They're not here. You took yourself through an elimination process, remember? You elevated the quality of your life, your relationships. You decided that being detached from outcomes was the best way to live. You may have wavered at times, but look, you've made amazing, beautiful, bold, courageous choices and changes. You've become your own best friend. You're in a better place. You're stronger. You've been tested with time, a refiner's fire. You've lightened your load. You've cleared the air. And look at you. Still alive, still breathing. So just share your music, okay? Just share it because it's safe. You're safe now to do so.
I really get that poem. I've shared a lot of music. I've been afraid of sharing too. When I write something and it just feels good, I'd spend the time learning the song and it feels good to me, and even if nobody else hears it. And all the time you're feeling like, you know, I'm not a big star, you know, I'm not anybody, you know, but man, for me, that when I sing that song, it just, you know, I just feel it in it. And so, you know, don't you think?
I know. I just, absolutely, I feel like I've been undercover for so long that literally I started walking into rooms and just kind of waiting for the room to smile at me before I'd even say something. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's just the continuous path of an artist, isn't it? To remain encouraged enough or in courage enough to keep doing their work, no matter what people may think or say or feel about what they're doing. That is a perpetual battle, isn't it, of an artist, Steve?
Well, Christy has pointed out to me that it doesn't even matter who you are, even if you are somebody who is industrially successful, you still feel like you wonder if anybody's going to like your next thing that you do, you know. It's always going to be like that, no matter what level of success you do or do not achieve. And so in the end, it's just about doing it. I really am looking forward to hearing you play a song sometime. Do you go to any open mics over there on Vashon?
Well, I haven't started that yet because I'm still doing two gigs here. I'm starting my massage practice, and I'm working at Thriftway.
Right.
And so I am just trying to create the time and stuff like that. And so I haven't done that yet. But to do that, I'm going to have to go off island, of course. And I've been told about some amazing places that people are going to take me. So I'm really looking forward to that. Just getting back in that feeling. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Because when I'm in the feeling, then the the bells and whistles go off, and then the inspiration comes as well. And so I've really been focusing a lot on not singing, but speaking, spoken word, because the bottom line is I've been working on this book for, gosh, I guess 6 years now. And I'm still like, I'm still in the matter of so much growth, Steve. I still feel like the book was supposed to have, I was supposed to have the manuscript script done by December this month, but I need a little more time. But I think I'm getting my flow and my new life now, so I'll be able to really write from that flow, because there is a flow to writing. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. So is this a novel?
No, this is called My Yellow Dress, One Woman's Desire to Put the Doggone Thing On and Never Take It Off Again. And yellow is symbolic for the color of being fully yourself. It is, I think somebody, I actually, when they said to you, you know, you're yellow, come on, you're yellow, you're scared. Because that's probably the color that somebody was actually on a psychological basis before they became afraid and caved in. And didn't share or didn't speak or didn't speak up or didn't say what they felt or whatever. So anyway, I'm coming to see that yellow is an amazing color. And the Orishan river goddess, Oshun, that's her favorite color, yellow.
But anyway, I want you to read something else. That was, you know, that really got me thinking a lot about music. But let's go on and do some more of your wonderful work here.
Okay. All right, this is called 1%. Seriously, oh my God, I had no idea. So no more lies about this, no more half-truths, no more yes, but then agains. I am the 1%, me, not the 99. I am the 1%, like the beautiful bronze glistening copper penny. I am the 1%, the penny with the Lincoln head on it. We've been told that the head was hesitant, yet nevertheless, the Lincoln head who emancipated me, I am the 1%. The penny we were planning to do away with. We thought it had no value, misunderstood, undermined, and underestimated, considered to be useless and to take up space. But I've been saved and I've been earned. I am the 1%. 1%, 1 cent. I am the one who matters. I am the 1%. African American, Native American, Asian American, American. The U.S. stands for us, the all of us. I was first, I've been last, and now I'm first again. Standing with those who I once secretly and inwardly cowered among. While I held the wine glass in my hand at those parties, yet felt so underqualified. But now I stand toe-to-toe with those who I never realized at the same time were actually holding my place in line. I will enjoy the same wealth, benefits, and freedoms we understand collectively. I am the 1%. Look at me. Everywhere I spend money, I cast my ballot. Once too scared to recognize my value, too shy and modest to identify my worth, didn't understand that all along I've been funding you. I finally see now, I finally understand this. I am the 1%. Can you see the royal blood running through my veins? Can you? But if you can't, that's all right. Really, that's okay. You don't have to see it because I can. It flows through me like a joyous, warm, and healing balm, bringing ease, relief, and mediation to unforgiving circumstances, speaking and bringing peace to wars and rumors of wars. Look at me and be lifted. Let my smile, my history, my herstory energize you and help you to do your doggone thing. I am the 1%. So now I close my eyes. I breathe. I send out love. It spreads like a scenic, famished fire. I connect with all the like-minded souls. I finally experience the weight of the world lifting off of my shoulders. I sense the vastness of the universe, and I announce my presence to the millions such as I, and I become one with all of them. Like stars once tethered, now unleashed across an infinite and beautiful, vast black sky, creating the world we're all wanting together. No more them, no more us, no more we, no more they. Yes, yes, I've decided to no longer be afraid, and I want you to do the same. Like James Weldon Johnson, come along, come sing with me, lift every voice and sing. I am the 1%.
All right, yeah.
Oh, that is just my feeling of being African American in this country. It's a very challenging thing, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what's going on in the news now, Steve. Surely you can testify.
I can testify. It's scary, tragic, crazy.
Yeah. But I mean, I grew up since I was 6 years old. I used to say, why aren't they talking about race? And it's a big old gray elephant. And then the elephant was in the middle of the living room pooping on the carpet and right. had a name and nobody was talking about it. They were still stepping over it. So now we're seeing the conversation on race happening. There's now officially a 12-step program for racism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to tell you my brother Youssef's story, okay?
Okay.
So, brother Youssef was this amazing man who was a musician, and he died in 2013? I forget. I really don't. But anyway, we used to sing and do gigs together at this place called The No, which mm-hmm. is this very, very casual coffee shop right in Durham, North Carolina, not far from North Carolina Central University. And NCCU is a HBCU. You know what a HBCU is? It's a historical black college and or university.
Oh, okay.
So where did you go to school?
The Evergreen State College in Olympia.
Okay, so that's a PWI, primarily white institution. You went to a PWI.
Okay.
And HBCU is a historical black college and or university.
Okay.
So anyway, by that place, all the music students who were amazing and continue to be amazing at North Carolina Central University come and they share their talents. They bring their bones and their keyboards and their drums and they play. So I used to sing to jazz standards there, and Brother Youssef would accompany me, and he kind of ran the show and, you know, made sure we were all on the list and who was up next and everything like that. He was the MC. Anyway, love this man, an older man, very bent over by the hard times of life, and a deep artist, a true artist and a true musician. And long story short, he died. When he died, I was like just devastated. I was like, oh my God, how will the music keep going with Brother Youssef dead? You know, not too long after he died, I had this dream, Steve, and the dream was amazing. But the dream was amazing because I dreamt that I was in this big, big pavilion, and all these people were coming up to me and going, good job, Nancy Lee. You did great, you did great. And the vibration and the frequency was healing. I mean, when I breathed in, I could feel life going into my body. So obviously I was in another time space continuum or something. And this was a dream. All of a sudden, a young man got up and came towards me, a fair complected black man. And he was in his 20s or early 30s. And just by looking at his eyes, different body, but I looked at him, I said, you're Brother Youssef, aren't you? He goes, that's right. And he goes, okay, let me tell you something. We're going over here, and he pulls down this mural that instantly shows up. And it's an island in the middle of blue water. He says, we're going there and we're having a party and I'm cooking. And I looked at him and I said, in the dream, I said, oh, Brother Youssef. And man, imagine the energy, just this healing energy. Like I'm in heaven. And I go, oh, Brother Youssef, look, I can't be going now because I'm not ready to die. And right when I said die, he pulled up the mural and all of a sudden, instantly, I was back in my bed awake, crying. And when I found the island and moved here, I realized that that was the island that Brother Youssef was talking to me about in a dream that I didn't even know about that existed. And that's my story about Vashon, that it came to me in a dream, and I actually was so beautiful, I thought I was dead.
That's really an amazing story. All the way through it, I was thinking, wow, she really remembered that dream.
I did. And I remember I was laying on my right-hand side when I woke up, and the room was dimly lit because dusk or dawn was coming, and my back was to my former husband, and I was looking at our green wall, and I remember tears running down the side of my face and flooding the pillow, and I was laying on the right side of my face. But I remember Brother Youssef, and I remember how beautiful he was. He even had muscles and everything, and I'd never seen him as a young man, but he was a young man in that dream. I never even met him when he was young. I met him when he was older.
Do you have another piece to read that we could go out on?
Yes.
Let's do that. Let's do one more piece.
It's always been about becoming to me. With wings outstretched and beauty never failing, the butterfly travels to its dawning. Many eyes squint to see. They marvel at its splendor. But I'm the one, yes, I admire him too, but I ponder of his long, cold winter.
Butterflies are in a cocoon.
That's right.
Through the winter. They are, yeah. Actually, that's kind
of, I mean, they have to do a lot of work to be that beautiful. You know, it's not right. Instant coffee, instant tea, instant faith up in here, you know?
Well, thank you for coming to Sound Poetry, Nancy Lee. It's been a pleasure to be out on Vashon Island with you.
Thank you so much. I've had so much fun doing this.
You're listening to Radio Tacoma, KTAH 101.9. I'm Steve Niebel. I'm sitting in for David Gilmore. You've been listening to Nancy Lee Spears, who is a Vashon Island spoken word poet. And thank you again, Nancy Lee, for coming to Sound Poetry.
Thank you for having me, Steve.